Going to look at one of our key basic beliefs, and what it is the authority of Scripture. Some of us in church that grew up in Sunday school, how many grew up in Sunday school? Wow, quite a few of you. Maybe it was in church. Maybe you learned this song. It sings this way, the B-I-B-L. Yes, that's. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I. How many have never, ever heard that song before? Many who knew it, you heard them singing it, they were like a little bit timid in their voice singing it, but I am wondering, have we missed some foundational songs even for our kids? I love worship. But there is theology in this. That's the book for me, and I stand alone. Nothing else is the guide for my life. It's the Word of God. So, now that you know it, everybody sing it with a little bit of enthusiasm. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. There's some of you who are in kids' church, it's like, the Bible! It's like our kids, the Bible band, you know, it's just great. I believe that God has given us a foundation to build our lives on. The Holy Bible. Psalms 119 says, your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. In verse 140 of that same chapter, it says, your word is very pure. Therefore, your servant loves it. Do you love his word? Heavenly Father, would you teach us how to love your word? Would you teach us how to follow it and obey it? Work in our lives. It is so foundational. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, and that could be a hard copy, it could be an electronic copy, it was never about the printed word, it was about the living word. If you have your Bible, you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Reading from the New International Version, it reads this way, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A couple of quick thoughts here. The Bible is God-breathed. You need to know it's God-inspired. The word there is theo and the word wind. God and wind. The wind of God blew this message into this world and wanted us to hear it. And it should be what? Useful to our lives. This Bible is useful, church. Within its pages, God shows us his truth. He shows us the truth about God, the truth about our world, the truth about our enemy, the truth about yourself. These truths are to help us grow and to know him better and to help us grow to be more like him. That is his desire. But secondly, through the Word of God, we are to be thoroughly equipped. The words of the Holy Bible help to shape our lives so we can serve with the gifts that you have been given. The Bible is a foundation for our life. And remember, the foundation will determine the stability of what is built on it. The foundation will determine the stability of what is built on it. Our fellowship, the Assemblies of God, has as its very first foundational belief this statement, the Scriptures inspired. Church, I cannot go anywhere else and build any other theology without this being the foundation. Oh, well, we can make up our own salvation. But without the Word of God as a foundation, what do you imagine that would be? And there are many of them. But our foundation is the Scripture is inspired. In fact, the Scriptures, both the Old and New Testament, are verbally inspired of God and are the revelation of God to man, the infallible, authoritative rule of faith and conduct. Now, within this doctrinal statement, there are three building blocks that help to form the foundation. Has anybody ever sat on a two-legged stool? Now, there are three legs that help support it, and just like this foundational truth. Here they are. The Bible is God's revelation of himself to mankind. The Bible is inerrant and infallible. The Bible is God's authoritative guide for our faith and our way of living. So let me walk through these this morning. Number one, the Bible is God's revelation of himself to mankind. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, hear this. Therefore, we never stop thanking God that when you received his message from us, and Paul is talking to the Thessalonians, you didn't think of our words as mere human ideas. You accepted what we said as the very Word of God, which of course it is. And this Word continues to work in you who believe. Everything we know about God, God has made known to us in his Word. The Bible not only shows us who God is, but it does so perfectly through his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus' life shows us the character of God. Hebrews 1:1-3 says, long ago God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. So the Bible not only introduces us to God, but through the Scriptures we're introduced to God's Son, who is God, who created the universe, it said. And we're going to be talking about this Godhead next week. And if you want to know who God is, you need to get to know Jesus. See, God wants us to know him, and he's made himself known through his Word. And because God wants us to know him, he has also protected his Word from being destroyed. How many this morning have another document with you that is about 4,000 to 5,000 years old? Did you know this is the best-selling book in the world? It has been preserved. Wonderfully preserved. Martin Luther made this statement. He said, infinite potentates have raged against this book and sought to destroy it and uproot it. Alexander the Great and the princes of Egypt and Babylon, the monarchs of Persia, of Greece, and of Rome, the emperors Julius and Augustus. But they, nothing prevailed. They are all gone and vanished. While the book remains and will remain forever and ever, perfect and entire as it was declared at first. Your word will stand forever. So the Bible is God's revelation, God showing us who he is and revealing himself to mankind so we can meet him, so we can know him, and it's been protected so we can know him. The second thought, though, here is the Bible is also the inerrant and infallible Word of God. It's never wrong. 2 Peter 1:20-21 says, above all, you must understand. Now, let me start with these first two words. What are they? above all. What does that mean? Most important, first, highest priority, above all. Everybody say that. Now, this is scripture. Let's see how much authority it has, if you believe it. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Verse 20 proclaims that Scripture did not originate in the mind of man or man's interpretation of things. In fact, verse 21 affirms that God is the source of the content of Scripture. For prophecy never had its origin in human will, but prophets, though human, spoke who? From God, as they were carried along by who? The Holy Spirit. Listen, Scripture didn't come into being by the will of man. It was by the Holy Spirit moving on the hearts of men that Scripture came to be. Now, two lessons we need to know about interpreting and concerning the interpretation of Scripture. First, Scripture must be interpreted in light of Scripture. Scripture cannot be and must not be disconnected or divided from other scriptures or from its context. Scripture backs Scripture. A second lesson is to know this. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us in all truth. It's the Holy Spirit that must guide individuals in interpreting the Bible. God is its author. And through His Holy Spirit, He illuminates our minds and guides us into the understanding of the truth of His Word. By the way, the Bible's prophetic record of infallible truth is incredibly accurate. I want to show you a few examples. Here's one, Isaiah 4:7-14. Tells us that the Lord Jesus would be born of a virgin. Now, what I find interesting is that we didn't have just one prophet that just kind of laid out everything and said, oh, this is the way it's going to happen, and so that it would just be fulfilled maybe by somebody else. God spoke and gave bits and pieces to so many different ones, and everything has been fulfilled. And listen to this. Daniel 9:25. Gives us a specific time that was given for the anointed one to come. Micah 5:2 says that Jesus would have been born in Bethlehem. Jeremiah writes and says that the infants in Bethlehem were massacred as prophesied, if you remember that. Hosea writes that Jesus would go down into Egypt and would return from Egypt. Remember his flight to Egypt? Isaiah foretells Christ's ministry in Galilee. Zechariah predicts his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on a colt. Psalm 22, David, King David, had never seen a Roman crucifixion, yet under divine inspiration, he pens a graphic portrayal of Jesus' death. Go read it. Isaiah 53 also gives a detailed picture of our Lord's rejection and mistreatment and death and even His burial. All prophesied thousands of years before it took place. And there are many more besides what I've given you. Church, that ought to impress us with the reliability of the Word of God. Because all of these were fulfilled through the Son of God, Jesus, our only Savior. And so all these predictions being fulfilled about Him, should we not also accept with confidence what the Bible says about the future? The Bible's prophecies are true. They're right. all of the time, because God always keeps His word. The Bible is God's revelation of Himself to mankind. He reveals Himself. The Bible is inerrant and infallible. And third, the Bible is God's authoritative guide for our faith, what we believe, and the way we live, our conduct. I have a pop quiz for you. Which of the following statements are actually in the Bible? Cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. Confession is good for the soul. Pride comes before the fall. The eye is the window to the soul. Money is the root of all evil. The lion shall lay down with the lamb. Now, though we may agree that all of these statements are somewhat true or partially true, none of them are in the Bible. I know, Pastor tricked us. I know you're going, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. I know that's in the Bible. No, it's in the Old Testament where it says the fox will lay down with the lamb and the leopard will lay with the kid. It was talking about peace. It's talking about the future. But that statement is not in the Bible. Oh, but money. Money's the root of all evil. I know that. No, what does it say? The love of money. But if we're not careful and we don't know our word, you're sitting here as good church folk going, yes, no, yes. And I'm not going to pick on who said yes to any of these, but you were wrong. Church, we need to actually learn the Word of God so we know what the Word of God says. I want you to hear some scripture from Psalm 119. It's an incredible chapter, and it's really all about His Word. I'm going to read just a few select portions because it is the longest chapter in the Bible, unless you would like for me to read all of it to you. It's just 176 verses long. All right, I'll just read the few I have. But I want you to hear these. Verse 2 says, joyful are those who obey His laws and search for Him with all their hearts. I read scriptures like this, and I'm like, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this scripture? And some of you probably need to work on the first part. Joyful are those who obey. How about obey? Who search for Him and do so with all their heart. Let me read verse 9 to you. How can a young person stay pure? By obeying your word. I know you're thinking, man, the world is going to be so tough. They're not going to be able to make it. They're going to struggle. They don't have to. I know the young people don't like to hear this because you would like a little cushion for your sinfulness. But the Bible says you can stay pure if you'll obey His word. How about verse 11? I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know that. Verse 15, I will study. How many like that word? Students. I will study your commandments and reflect on your ways. Verse 29, keep me from lying to myself. Give me the privilege of knowing your instructions. Do you know how many people lie to themselves? Because they don't want to hear the whole counsel of the whole word of God. Verse 34, give me understanding and I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all of my heart. Verse 93, I will never forget your commandments, for by them you give me life. 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Verse 111, your laws are my treasure. They are my heart's delight. Verse 130, the teaching of your word gives light so even the simple can understand. Verse 160, the very essence of your words is truth. All your just regulations will stand forever. Verse 165, those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Verse 175, let me live so I can praise you, and may your regulations help me. Do you know God's word will help you and grow you and teach you and guide you if you study it and you get it into you? The word of God is life to all who follow it. Here, the wisest man of all time, Solomon, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, as he writes these words from God our Father, he says, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. So this morning, let me wrap up with how can the Word of God help us? 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17 again. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Four ways that God's word can work in us. Number one, teaching. Did you know that God's word instructs us in what we should know about God and how we should live? The Bible teaches us God's will. People go, I don't know God's will. God's will is that all would come to repentance. You need to understand, it isn't that they would know that he loves them, is that they would repent. That's his will. And you're going, no. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We know God's will. We can know God's desires. We can understand his heart. He's revealed it. Scripture, by the way, is our standard for testing everything that claims to be true. If it does not measure up to the standard of God's word, then you can know it is wrong. It is false. Why? Because it's important for us to know this, because 2 Timothy 4 tells me this. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Right now there is unwholesome teaching going on in churches. They have removed parts of the Bible. Well, we really didn't mean that, because they're no longer listening to the Holy Spirit. There is wholesome teaching. We are moral because God created us to be holy. We talked about that last week. Listen to what happens. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. And then here's what happens. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. Church, we need to get into God's word and learn it and live it. Everybody say, learn it and live it. Learn it and live it. I already quoted this to you, but Psalm 119:34, give me understanding, give me understanding, give me understanding, and I will obey. I will obey your instructions. I will put them into practice with all of my heart. Why? Because I'm being taught the word. And I thought, as good students and disciples of Christ, we wanted to be like him. Number two is rebuking. God's word is to be received, believed, and obeyed as our final authority in our lives. And when we're living in disobedience, then God will use his word to rebuke your life. And the Holy Spirit will remind you of the Word of God and how you're supposed to live, so you will turn from sin. You will repent. So many times we talk about repentance and we say, well, I got to turn from sin. Where do you turn to? I turn from death to life. That's repentance. Proverbs 3:11 and 12, so my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. God has to reprimand us at times and reprove us at times because we're wrong in our thinking. Paul uses another word, correcting, he uses it. Did you know that God's word will guide and direct your lives when you get off course? He'll correct your course. God wants to restore our thinking, transform our minds so we can know the mind of Christ. The Bible corrects some of the false notions you may have or the misunderstandings you have so that you can know who God is and what he has for our lives. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2:12. And we have received who? God's Spirit, not the world's spirit. Did you know there is a spirit in this world that is not of God? And it will do everything to get you off track. But we have not received that spirit. We have received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. And lastly, Paul uses another word, another thought, training in righteousness. God's word will not only set us on the right path, but it will keep us on the right path. You do not have to be led astray. You can follow Christ and grow to be more like him every day. I already quoted it, Psalm 119:11. I have hidden your word in my heart, and I want you to really catch this, that I, what? Sometimes we take a scripture and went, well, so that if I do sin, I can get back to it. No, I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Because that's the way I want to live. I love the forgiveness. I'm glad we have 1 John 1:9. But I understand his authority of this word, and I want it working in my life. I want us to follow God's word, it is life to us. Mark Twain, not in any way a diehard Christian, but he did write these words, a little southern sounding, but effective. He said, it ain't the parts of the Bible I can't understand that bother me. It's the parts that I do understand. You're like, I understand. What about the stuff you do understand? Church, we ought to be challenged by God's word. I know we're not perfect, and we won't be until he comes. But how many of you know you need to change? How many of you know you need to grow? There's some of you, your arms do not work. All of us need to change. And what will change us? God's word. I want to know him more. I want to be like him. And church, we'll get more out of the Bible if we'll get it into us. I want to challenge you to read his word. Because the authority of Scripture, the authority, it is inspired of God, and it should carry authority in your life. It is God's word, and it will change you. Today, I'm going to end maybe a little bit different. We're not going to end with music today. I need God's word, and I appreciate those who have written books to help challenge the way we think and to bring us back to God's word. I offered these last week. We have them in, and if you're kind of at a beginning level and you just got junk in your life, would you take Soul Detox and let God reveal the toxins in your life that he reveals in his word and shows you that they are toxic and that you can get rid of them and detox your soul? And if you're going, well, I don't really deal with a whole lot of stuff in the world anymore. Well, how about let's get a little more immediate obedience to God in our life? I want you to begin to tune in and say, God, what are you saying? What are you speaking? What do you have for my life today? So these are available. You can pick them up. I'm telling everybody, just go to the information desk and say, what have you got for me? And they'll give you sign-up sheets and all that stuff. But here's what I want to leave with today. I have a challenge for you. How many have a favorite verse? Does anybody not have a favorite verse? How many are stuck? Your arms still don't work. How many have like several favorite verses and you can't pick? Okay. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do this week. I'm asking you to take your favorite verse. How many of your favorite verse is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Some of you. How many is still John 3, 16 is your favorite verse? It's still one of my key favorites. Philippians 4, 13. Philippians 4, 19. Yeah, they're going, oh, I don't know, what does that say? Go look it up. But let me back up to Proverbs 3. Here's what I'm wanting you to do. Your favorite verse, though. Not the one I'm using an example, and if it's your favorite verse, I'm helping you out. But if it's not, I want you to go back, and I want you to let the authority of Scripture begin to speak to your life. Proverbs 3, verse 5 begins with what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Let me just stop right there for a moment. I want you to begin to ask God, God, what are you saying? Holy Spirit, would you reveal to me? And the very first phrase, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. So my question is, why are you worrying? Why are you anxious? Because the second part, with all of your heart, that's the activity part of it that we don't do. The instruction is trust the Lord. Your action is to do it with all your heart. Because we give our heart, oh, but I don't know. The finances, I don't know if they're going to come in. Christmas is coming. I don't know if we're going to be able to afford. Whoa. What was the instruction? Trust in the Lord. The problem is, the second part, he tells you what your problem is. You lean on your own understanding. The instruction, trust the Lord. Trust in 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 the Lord. How many more times do I need to say it? Trust in the Lord. I believe if we'll begin to really take His word and know that God is speaking, God has revealed Himself. God wants you to get this foundation under you so you don't lean on your own understanding, but then begin to acknowledge Him in all your ways. There's more instruction in that for me. For God so loved the world. Oh, man, that is great. And that He gave His only Son. That's Jesus. He died on the cross. Isn't that wonderful? For all who believe in Him. Isn't that great? That everybody has a chance. But let me tell you what people do. God, I don't know if you love me. I haven't felt your presence. Wait a minute. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Another scripture says He lavished His love. Don't ever think that God doesn't love you. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Maybe it's Philippians 4:19 that's your favorite that says, my God shall supply all my needs according to His glorious riches in Christ Jesus. The problem is we begin to quote that and we get focused on my God shall supply my needs. My needs. God, let me just tell you what my needs are. And He said, whoa. What does the Scripture say? First, my God, my Redeemer, He lives. My Healer is a healing God. My El Shaddai, my more than enough God. My God shall supply my needs. And we begin to get our priorities right. But church, I don't think we've gotten the word in us. And we begin to misquote Scripture. We begin to misunderstand it. I can't tell you it all, but the Holy Spirit is delighted to sit with you and walk through this Word and begin to reveal and illuminate and give life to you. But does it have the authority it should have in your life? Does it have the authority to speak to you?